minus three with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello and welcome to postseason pro football action. Sports fans, welcome to minus three. Make sure you're betting on all of it this NFL postseason with your pals here on minus three. Do so FanDuel.com/minus three. It's the word minus. It's the number three. And welcome to the show. Three guys in ball caps ready to talk about pro football. I'm headed to see an NHL game in Los Angeles. Kings, Penguins, looking forward to that. Speaking of NHL, Eddie Spaghetti and Mikey Meatballs coming at you at the back end of this episode with a new episode of this episode with a new mini episode. I don't know, piloting at the back end of our program proper here. Spaghetti and Meatballs with some hockey talk for you. So stick around for that. Things are getting real good in the NHL right now. Make sure you're playing along with us and against us at extrapoints.com/arcade. Cousin Sal on down, the whole gang at Extra Points in the NFL Pick'em and props, all that stuff. A great minus three earlier in the week with Jeff Schwartz. He's a Chiefs fan. As you may know, I am a Steelers fan. We brought that game up. We talked about all the wild card games upcoming, and listen to Extra Points with me, Sal, and Marty Weiss. We had Torrey Holt, who's hoping to get a gold jacket at some point soon here. He certainly deserves it. It's a weird one that he doesn't already have. It should have had it about a decade ago. But either way, really fun conversation with Torrey Holt. And with all that, you know, greatest show on turf, one of the great memories in postseason NFL action. But let's look at the here and now with our two guys, Eddie Spaghetti there behind the glass in his Rangers ball cap. And there he is, Kevin Hench. I don't know what his hat says, but his face says business. Buffalo Bills, you want to rule the AFC East? There's the small matter of Belichick's Patriots to contend with. How are your emotions right now, Hench?
You know, I'm not overly confident. I do feel like
the, overly. Who said you had to be confident? Period.
Well, I'm not as woebegone as you should be. Obviously, I'm not going headlong into an embarrassment.
I'm in dynamite spirits, pal. Don't worry about me. I'm over the moon.
Okay.
I sincerely am. This is the greatest spot to be in.
I feel like the Patriots, you know, are playing with house money. They overperformed. I mean, as the Steelers did too. And, you know, the as you were watching the 1 million possibilities that could have happened last weekend, this is pretty much the last place I wanted the Patriots to have to go play. You know, since that crazy weather aberration, you know, where the wind moves the Bills' chip shot field goal 40 yards, like literally a chip shot that went further horizontally than forward. Like, the Bills win the game if they get the chip shot, because then they have another chip shot to win the game. And then the Bills lost in OT at the Bucks the next week. And then the Bills just put up four straight dominant double-digit victories while the Pats staggered to the finish line, going 3-3 down the stretch with a pretty rough loss at Miami, which, again, our listeners cashed in on, I hope, because I said number one best bet on the schedule, Dolphins plus a touchdown at home in a place where Tom Brady went 8-10. This is the easiest money of the year. And then you said, live a little, bet the Dolphins money line. So I hope people listen to me. And then I really hope they listen to you and made some money on that easy one. But anyway, the Pats.
Well, I hope everybody also to pat ourselves on the back, as we like to do here and there. I hope everybody listened to me and Spaghetti and Jeff Schwartz and Sal, who said Georgia and the under was the right bet. That hit for you, and that cashed out. You can't win them all.
Well, speaking of you're going to the hockey game tonight. When we were texting about the college football championship game, and I believe Spaghetti let us know that he was at the Rangers Kings game that. So then you go, you're like, oh gee, I wonder. I didn't even know that game was happening. I wonder what kind of a time our buddy's having. And then you look on your phone, you're like, Oh, he's fucking miserable.
I didn't look at the final score. It escaped my memory to look until the next day. And like, I saw,
oh my God, he's just, because it is, I mean, obviously attending any sporting event is a crapshoot. You know, you might have a terrible time watching your team lose, but there's something like a 3-1 hockey loss to a not very good team. That's a long slog. That's,
well, I was lucky enough to go to the Anaheim Ducks game where the Rangers crushed them, and the Ducks are a better team than the Kings. And then they were a totally different team versus this other one. And actually, my girlfriend took a picture of me watching the national championship game on my phone. I perched on the seat in front of me while watching the Rangers. She's like, life of a sports fan. But, you know, they're playing with their taxi squad lineup. They have all AHL guys in the third line. They're third pairing a D. Same thing, backup goalie in. It was just a bad, bad game. But, it, I mean, it's fine. They have 50 points. I'm not.
Well, no, Spaghetti probably couldn't hear the commentary. So I'm assuming Kirk Herbstreit must have gone on a long jag about poor Jameson Williams costing himself millions of dollars to entertain Herbie so Herbie can make millions of dollars calling these games for ESPN. It's so insane that the exact worst nightmare scenario that these guys subject themselves to happened right in front of Kirk Herbstreit. No comment on this kid who, you know, I don't know. He could fall to the second round. Like, it's an ACL. He definitely cost himself millions of dollars by playing in that game. So
the big takeaway for the kids is the big takeaway for everyone within the sound of my voice. In the 21st century, at least, absolution is available if you just pretend like it didn't happen. There is no these apologies the day after, 3 days after, scripted by a publicist or otherwise, only keep the ball in the air for an extra few days. Just pretend like it didn't happen. There are no repercussions for saying something that dim as Herbstreit did. The guy who is, as a mercenary, basically living off of the millions of dollars generated by his employer, that he can say that and it's like, oh, well. Yeah, that's fine. That he's not a biased party on any level. Just like, oh, well, Herbie's great in the booth, though. You got to give him that. Anyhow.
Well, we can bring it up. We can bring it up in perpetuity. We can never let Herbstreit off the hook for not giving a shit about these.
I know. But you know what, though? My eyes are now open. I feel differently. I am flexible spiritually. I now realize, with the Steelers in this playoff game, that no one wants them in. The idea that, I mean, people are downright angry at Brandon Staley from depriving us of seeing Justin Herbert and company in the postseason. Everybody is so cross about this. And I got to tell you, I agree. Why, if the NFL cares so much about its players' health, why are they forcing this game to even happen? We all know how it's going to go. They're going to even fly old Ben Roethlisberger out, now Michael's out, all this. They just cancel it, right? Why are they even bothering to play this game? Fair? I mean, I think we all understand that this
Do you think you can reverse jinx this into like a favorable result for you? Like
I'm trying to have fun because you know what? To me, it's the journey, not the destination. And here's the thing that I've said all week. I've been lucky people when the Steelers do well or are a nightmare one way or the other. People say like, oh, you know what idiotic buffoon we can get to yap about them on our show is that Dave Dameshek. And so I've been doing that. And the reminder is, if the goal is that you win the Lombardi or abject failure, if those are the two things, you're going to be sad a lot of the time as a football fan. Reminder to everyone within the sound of my voice, whoever, whatever team you root for, especially if you're in this mix here. The week after the Immaculate Reception, the Steelers lost, and that was the end of the season. Everything doesn't have to end in ultimate glory for it to be a fun memory for you as a sports fan. And I look forward to having a fun sports memory with Jean-Claude Van Damischek in, what is it called, the Crypt tonight? But they better not score just one goal. Because when you only get to see your team play once a year or twice a year and they only put up one, that's a gut punch. Like, we spent all this money to do this and that they barely even score. And I don't even want it to be a fourth liner. It's got to be, I want 87 or 71 or shame the devil. All right, let's talk about pro football.
Well, listen, I think, you know, you're right. It's the journey, not the decimation.
That was cute how you messed up the words, but on purpose. The
Steelers, that we can start with your beloved Steelers.
No, and, because I don't want to start with them. I want to start with this one. I want to talk about the Bills a little bit more. I'm not overly confident. Why would you feel good about this one at all? Well, I'll tell you.
Well, that's my point. I'm not.
First of all, but it's a weird thing. I know it's a funny story, but Josh Allen saying, I don't play well in the cold because I don't get good circulation to my feet. And then Bart Scott says, oh, yeah, Viagra takes care of that. Just take some Viagra. And the idea of a 10-foot pole running around underneath the number 17 to ward off would-be tacklers is something I was going to say I don't want to see, but it would be interesting. But anyway, it was very funny when Will Ferrell did it in Anchorman. But anyhow, I feel like it's just it's a little bit of evidence. Let's not make too big a case out of that one. But the Buffalo Bills, yeah, you're right. They ended up surviving the Patriots and winning the division, as everyone under the sun, this side of me at least, I had the Patriots winning the division. Had the Bills. But it's got to feel a little bit miragey right now to them, because it doesn't matter. You have 60 minutes and you are supposed to be, by a lot of people through this past 12 months have declared over and up, the Bills are the best team in the AFC. They should go to the Super Bowl this year. This is their year. They're peaking. They're ripe. They fixed their one deficiency, the pass rush. Well, they can't run the ball except with their quarterback. And now Belichick is still in the way, and it's in Buffalo. And in a way, I'd almost rather it be in Foxborough if I were Josh Allen, because that nervous energy from the stands will seep down and permeate onto both sidelines. If it's a tight game, they will get tight. It's a big obstacle in the way. It's a big iceberg that they have to work their way around for legitimacy. And the Colts lose. I don't know if you watched Hard Knocks, the great NFL films by our pal Keith Cosgrove on down. If you watch the most recent one, when they lose to the Colts, and I mean when they lose to the Jags, and it just sets up this Frank Reich standing at a podium saying what feels pretty empty to the players, we got a championship culture here, and you just got to believe that this is going to test us, and how are you going to respond to it? But it's 6 months now. You have to ruminate on this and what you let get away. The Bills lose this one. I don't think you just go hey, back at it, get them in 2022, fellas. This is it. This is the year. And if they stumble and they can't get past the 20-year evil empire that is Bill Belichick, it's going to, and I know they know that going into this game. I feel like your guys have a nice psychological edge. Do you not see that, or do you disagree? Or
you're starting to cheer me up a little bit. I like this. Now,
don't you think that's right?
Well, maybe I would feel more confident if the Bills had fucking punted once the last time these teams played. If the punter had gone on the field. I just think, they're Josh Allen. It's funny because I took Bama in our picks last week, not strongly, just kind of a coin flip. But I was if you have a big advantage at quarterback, the other team better have a really big advantage at the other positions, right? I mean, as it turned out, when you watch that Georgia defense run sideline to sideline, you're like, oh, they do have a big advantage at all these other positions. I don't think the Patriots' advantage at the other positions makes up for the gap between the quarterbacks. Now, it's hilarious that the fan base for the team whose quarterback is from Jacksonville wants it to be as cold as possible against the quarterback who played college ball in Wyoming. It's so weird. We're like, oh man, 2 degrees. It could be negative. This is great. Really, our quarterback's from Florida. How great is he in the cold weather? Well, he's just going to hand the ball off. We want it to be we want another ugly weather slog as our only chance. Cause obviously if the game is free flowing and high scoring, we have no chance.
You're talking me into it, Hench. More and more, you're talking me into the Patriots, because that thing of you just have to kind of announce, you can't announce it. You can't put it out there that I don't like the Colts. Just don't say that. Even if you feel it, don't say that, because now you entrench that into your own brain and into everybody else's, and that's no good. I like Mac Jones doing that. Dawson Knox for the Bills. I usually kind of, who cares? He's going to be sleeveless for the game. The guys who go out onto the field without a shirt on don't seem tough to me. They seem stupid to me who do that. But it is a thing. Like, I don't want Josh Allen talking about, like, well, I get bad circulation, and that's why I've been known to struggle in the cold. Like, why are you bringing it up? Or it's just reject that if anybody asked you about it. And the most important detail is when you talk about how great Josh Allen was in Foxborough. A month ago, if that's what the Bills require for victory, that's a ton of prep. Not everybody does it. You've watched your guy. It's why I love underdog stories. I've said it a million times before. I'll say it again. Underdog stories are awesome. They're really fun to get behind. People make movies about them. But what I love most about sports is when everybody is looking at it could be Stetson Bennett for Georgia, a walk-on. When it's understood based on the game flow and the narrative that preceded and everything, it's like, hey, you're our shot, man. Like, if we're going to do this, it's got to be you who does it. Everybody gets it from that guy on down. And then they do it. The guy who always did that was Tom Brady. Oh, we're down 2 touchdowns to the best defense of the generation, the Seahawks, in the Super Bowl in the second half. He rallies them and he put them in the lead. That's awesome. Doesn't mean Josh Allen's that guy. Everybody doesn't rise like that in that occasion when it can be too much pressure. So
right, let me ask you this.
Let's go there.
You mentioned Stetson Bennett, and I had this thought. I had this question for you guys. Will Stetson Bennett make as much money in his career playing football as Bryce Young made this year?
No, but how will he? Will Bryce Young, the amount of money Bryce Young made this year, offset the number of free meals Stetson Bennett gets in the state of Georgia?
Right. I know. Forever, of course. I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to have a beloved career around football, but I don't know. Does he even carry a clipboard for 5 seasons? You know, how many seasons?
Oh, no. In the NFL? Not maybe the USFL? That guy has no shot. That guy has no – right, okay. Eddie Spaghetti? Do you agree with that, Stetson? Bennett's not getting drafted. He might go knock around in August at some camp as a fill-in, but he ain't making no NFL roster.
I mean, he left a big-time program to go to a community college to play in the middle of his Georgia career. I mean, he's not going to see there. I'm trying to look it up right now. What is it says that his NIL valuation jumped, obviously, after the championship game. He started around $90,000 was his value. Now it's around $360,000. I'm pretty sure Bryce Young is like in the millions at this point. So I think Hench is. I'm gonna side with Bryce Young.
I didn't know it was millions. I didn't know that Bryce Young had made millions.
I'm sure the Heisman's valuation for NIL is probably 7 figures. And I mean, who knows what they're getting? You know, locally. I'm sure that Saban and also in Georgia, they each get their players, some guys locally, but from the boosters. But yeah, I mean, Bryce Young is going to.
Well, that makes the story even better. You know, that's the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. Like, you know, it's terrific. All right. So we're on. This is good. We're on opposite sides of the first game out of the game.
Okay, great. So we have these games to pick. And then
the points. Sheck says Pats +4. I say Bills -4.
What I wanted to do, and I really did have it written down this way. I didn't tell either one of you that this is what I was going to do, but I wanted to do it in confidence order. And this is not that. This is one of the two toughest games to call here. The one that I like best is. So I'm gonna do the way I have it on my own personal outline for today. Okay. I put them in the order that I am confident. All right. The Bengals are gonna whip the Raiders. I admire Derek Carr, what he's been able to hold together in an all-time mess of a situation there. But I just practically think the Bengals have a real shot at going to the Super Bowl. That's not hyperbole. By the way, +800 to bet them. That's the best value out there that feels plausible, at least. By the way, I love that on FanDuel. When you go to FanDuel and you look up odds to get to the Super Bowl, there are 6 AFC teams, and then you have to click more to get to the Steelers odds. They're not even listed. But anyway, I happen to agree. I don't think spoiler alert, I don't think that the Steelers wind up playing in the Super Bowl this year, although I'll be happy to be wrong. I do think that the Bengals, you know, is an old story if you've been listening to -3 for the last couple months here. I'm big on Joe Burrow and company. They're flawed, as is every other team. They can make big plays that swing postseason games. And they already hammered the Raiders in Vegas 7-8 weeks or so ago. I see no reason to doubt this, result. I think Joe Burrow has a real big day there. I say take the Bengals, and I'm going over. By the way, they're laying 4.5, and I'm going over 48.5 as I try to cobble together final scores. I do think this one tracks to go a little over there. So +800 Bengals. How say you, Hench?
Well, this would be probably my lowest confidence game. Like, you know,
I know you said that. I can't believe it.
You know, where you're just like, you go back and forth. And just to keep it interesting, I guess I'll take the points, because the Raiders, and I mean, I think Waller being back makes a huge difference for the Raiders, obviously. And, you know, watching what everybody in America, except for you, wanted to have happen in the final game of the season, which is a tie. Watching that game,
I was kind of person are you to sit there?
We were all rooting for a tie. The whole country was rooting for a tie. It would have been the greatest story in NFL history. But by the way, sidebar: the Raiders were going to hand the ball off out of shotgun to Jacobs. That's the play they were going to run. So this idea that Staley calling timeout changed the course of history, it's like, no, they're going to hand the ball off. If they get it to this point, they're going to kick a field goal. The problem was not tackling him on, you know, at any point when you knew they were going to run. And then, you know, the Raiders were going to kick the field goal, you know.
They were. And I talked about that with Jeff Schwartz and a lot of other Mina Kimes, and there's been debate about this, but just to put a button on it from where I stand, yeah, I think Staley, whether he meant for it to go this way or not, by calling that timeout with 30 seconds to go, if they run the ball one more time, the Raiders, and the Chargers stop them, then they call another timeout with, say, 27 seconds left, and then if the Raiders make the field goal, game over. But if they don't, the Chargers get the ball somewhere near midfield, one completion, and now the Chargers have a shot to win it. So, yeah, the idea that the Raiders were playing for a tie, what they were playing for was to not give the Chargers a chance with the ball. They were either going to kick the field goal or Carlson misses it, and they still go to the playoffs. So I think it's been overstated that Brandon Staley prevented that. Yeah, totally. I've heard the comments, but they were going to try the field goal. So the Raiders were, no matter what. So anyhow.
Okay. So, but you know, that game, and I was on the Chargers, and you know, I watched Derek Carr. We talked about it a lot here. Like, I don't know. He just rings more than he has any right to out of that team week in and week out. And so, you know, I'm like you. I love Joe Burrow. I also think the Bengals could hang with the Chiefs in an AFC title game shootout. But to keep it interesting, I'll take this Derek Carr and the points, because I literally don't know how when they were what were they, 6-7? They were 6-7, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
The odds of them finishing 6-11 seemed better than the odds of them going to the playoffs. And it's all Derek Carr. So I'll ride with your buddy there to keep it interesting, as we're now on the other, we're opposite sides of the first two games out of the game.
I love it, Spaghetti. By the way, on that one.
Spaghetti, oh, Sheck's picks in the playoffs for the last 15 years are incredible. He's had seasons where he got every game right. So I'm not delighted to be on.
I was with him as he picked the Steelers correct record for like 5 straight years. He threw him a parade. Yeah, he's as good as it gets.
I don't feel six great.
Six straight, and also I kind of think we should take a vote, kind of like, did TJ Watt deserve that extra half sack? I kind of deserve to be right about this one. Who could have seen Roethlisberger having to sit down with the 19 against Detroit? That would have been a win, not a tie, and they would have been 10-7, exactly like I picked them to be. Either way, I told you they'd go over 8.5. I told you they'd finish in second in the division. That's exactly where they landed. Say whatever you want. I am the Steelers whisperer. I do tell you what's going to go down.
I'll give credit.
Sack. I'll give you half a sack.
You have
half a sack for your one testicle.
I don't even know what that means, but
I don't either.
I'm with Hench.
That was awfully powerful when you consider how productive it is, you know?
That's true.
Anyway, I'm with Hench on this one. That
my wiener is the Mark Lemke of wieners. Where did that come from? This fella at second base, this guy's this slap hitter, like all of a sudden gets when it's clutch time, there's no one you'd rather have up at the plate. That's what the ladies say. Go ahead, Spaghetti.
All right, now it's pick time. I'm with Hench. The confidence meter, this one, I have zero confidence. It's a tough game to pick. The line actually was last night when I made the rundown was 5.5. Now it's bought down to 4.5. So people are on the Raiders here. And I think I'm on the Raiders too. Greg Rosenthal, our buddy, wrote an article about the 10 best quarterbacks this year. And I believe Derek Carr's in the list at number 10. And I totally agree with Hench again that he just gets the most out of this team. I think the Waller back is great. Renfro's been great for him as well. And Josh Jacobs has played much better. The issue is that Joe Burrow is also on Greg Rosenthal's top quarterback list. I believe it like number 4 or 5, 6 around that range.
Number 4, if I say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and he's great. Their offense, I think, obviously is better. But I think 4.5 points, if it was 5.5, I would love the Raiders. But I think 4.5 is still enough. It'll be a close game. What's going to happen is the Raiders should have won this game, but the Bengals will end up eking out a close one. So I do side with the Raiders for this one. It's gonna be a karmic thing.
Except for that terrible call.
Exactly. It's gonna be something's gonna happen.
Pretty much guarantee that part. There'll be a fucking horrible call.
I have foreshadowed just seeing like Derek Carr coming off the field like angry about it. It was like a fumble by a player, and they're going to gun the like score. Something like that's going to happen where the Raiders have the game.
They grabbed Hunter Renfro's jersey.
Yeah, one of those. So Bengals will win this one, but it's going to be close.
All right, next up, Sheck.
And it all has to do with, but like the thing that
I none said of us can, next up.
I know, but not the thing none of us can do properly, and that's why Week 18 is like, as we said when we were doing it, like. What are we picking some of these games? I don't know what the motivation is. Are they satiated with their paycheck? Are the Raiders like, wow, we did what nobody thought we could do. Great season there, but let's go have fun. And they really, at the first sign of adversity, will just kind of relent and be like, have your fun, Beckham. We know we don't hang with you. Or like, are they game? I don't know. I don't know what the Raiders are made of.
Well, the one thing we all learned in Week 18 is the 16-game season was plenty long. No reason for that fucking Sunday to exist.
Thank goodness it did, not just from a Steelers fan's point of view. That Colts-Jags result, at the same time Steelers and Ravens and that, and then it sets up the Sunday night game. Shame the devil that you would say that. That was great. And by the way, shout out to another gamer, Jimmy G, with all the world against him, coming back from 17 down to rally the Niners into the postseason. That's the game I'm second most confident in this weekend. I say the Cowboys win and how. They're laying 3 right now. Total on that one is 51. I go back and forth on the total. I'm going to go over, listen less to what I say where the total's concerned and who is going to come out in the head-to-head. Cowboys are going to cover the 3 there against the Niners. I like them. I think if they different matchups, you know, stylistic differences make the matchup. Niners could make a deep playoff run. I don't like this spot for them going into Dallas. I say Dak and company roll.
Okay, well, this is a brutal matchup for me because these are the two teams, you know, I anybody but Green Bay is my philosophy going into the NFC playoffs. And I liked both these teams as candidates to go into Green Bay and beat the Packers. So I hate the fact that I have to lose one of my two chits, one of my two opportunities to beat those Packers. But it's funny because, you know, over the course of the year, you watch a team and you go, oh, that team is good. What are the odds of them winning the NFC? And then you go, oh, look at these odds. So I have the Niners at plus 1,700, but they're now down to plus 800. So that's nice. And then I looked at my futures and I go, at some point I was like, I got on the Cowboys at plus 425 and now they're plus 450. So it's basically the same. But I'm like, oh, well, one of those tickets is now worthless. However, and I agree. I mean, it's kind of a terrible, but it's terrible for both teams. Like I feel like it's a bad matchup for Jimmy G, but I also feel like, you know, if I was Cousin Sal, I wouldn't be delighted about Debo and Kittle coming into town. So just to keep it interesting, I'm going to take the field goal. And we are 3 for 3 on opposite sides of the ledger. I hope this is the first year in 20 that Sheck has a bad playoffs.
By the way, circle this one as the best uniform matchup. And there's some nice candidates out there. Steelers at KC should look nice. I think actually the Raiders look good against anybody. The Raiders against the Bengals, if they do the right thing and wear the black jerseys, Cincy, I think that'll be a surprisingly appealing one to stare at. Eddie Spaghetti, how say you? But before you talk, actually, if it goes chalk, Cowboys at Tampa, I think if you're rooting for the most fun divisional round games, Niners at Lambeau is a scary spot if you're Rodgers and company. And then that would mean Cowboys, right? So the Cowboys would be out. So then that would mean Rams at Tampa. And I could definitely see the Rams beating Tampa. I could see that result happening. Although Dallas at Tampa is a fun game as well. I just think Rams or Arizona at Lambeau is, we know that result. And then we don't want any bum games come to divisional round. Spaghetti, how say you on Niners Cowboys?
So this game, I mean, you know, whenever I talk to Sal about the Cowboys, I'm like, man, don't you think they're going to crush him this week? And he was like, he feels like he gets scared about the team. This is actually the one time where I'm like, I think this 49ers team could give them some trouble, and Hench kind of hit on it too, especially with Debo Samuel. Like if Trayvon Diggs is guarding him, he's getting like the most yards to any receiver as a cornerback in the NFL. I think Jimmy G, if he plays really well and he targets Debo, they can keep this game real close. And obviously same to Kittle too. Their rushing attack, no matter who's running back for the 49ers, is always going to be good. But I think the Cowboys will win this one. And it pains to say as the Giants fan, but that organization right now is really as good as it gets. Will McClay is a guy that seemingly every organization wants to grab, and they had to just re-sign him for a huge extension to keep him in the Cowboys front office because like they're building a really good team. They will win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years. This is going to be a close game, but the Cowboys will win. And I think a lot of pressure on Jimmy G, because if he plays well and somehow upsets them, this kind of extends his career. If he loses this game, it's going to be Trey Lance and Jimmy G will be a backup. If he wins this game, he could be starting for the Giants. So who knows? A lot of pressure on him, but I think the Cowboys should win this one. If they don't blow him out, they're going to feel pretty sour after this one, because I don't think the talent disparity between these two teams are pretty vast in my opinion. But I think the Cowboys will win, especially with giving three.
I think the bottom line is, in a quarterback league, Dak over Jimmy G by a lot. And, you know, I just the thing to keep the eye on is the pressure on that guy.
You think John Lynch is going to be in church liking tweets Sunday night, shitting on Jimmy G?
Yeah, like Chris Ballard. Did you see Chris Ballard, what he said on Thursday morning? He's like, well, we thought it was a good move at the time we brought Carson in here. He made some good plays. He did some other things. I don't think you're going to be the quarterback next year, Carson.
It's rough.
That's what I'm saying. If Jimmy G wins, if he somehow wins this game or plays awesome, it's like Giants, Lions, Dolphins, maybe Colts, all these teams, Texans. They're going to be coming. Jimmy G could start for any of these teams.
Well, you know, where else was made though. And by the way, Stetson Bennett, after the sort of fumble that wasn't, and then the guy recovers it even though he's not even trying to recover it, and then they score a touchdown, and then that next sequence, like, he just starts delivering strikes into the end zone. Incredible. Jimmy G, not enough made of the fact there it's 4th and 18 and their kicker is punting from his own end zone with less than 2 minutes left, down 7. So the Saints have won. You're down 7. It's 4th and 18. Your punter is out. Your kicker is punting. And I, you know, I should have gone and seen what the win probability was at that moment where Robbie Gould uncorks a 47-yard punt. But they get the stop, they call the timeouts, and then Jimmy G just whips it down the field into the end zone. So talk about playing with house money. Like, that, their season was over. It's not possible to pull off what he pulled off. So he might go into that game a little free and easy. And they have – nobody has weapons like that team. That team, I mean, you know, when you look at the how Jennings has progressed, Ayuk, Debo, Kittle, like, somebody has a huge edge in their matchup. And the only question is, what team is Jimmy G going to throw the ball to? But I feel like if Jimmy G is above average, he doesn't have to be awesome. If he's above average, that team's a tough out. So, all right, we're
I agree. I think I'll tell you this. He, at minimum, for Jimmy G's future, don't poop the bed. Because if you play adequately, to Spaghetti's point, there are going to be a lot of suitors for you. One of them may even be on the banks of the Three Rivers. That name's been floated there. In the meantime, the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers continues to wear number 7 for at least 60 more minutes in the Arrowhead. I can absolutely talk myself into the Steelers plus 12.5. Not on the money line. I'm not loco, but I can definitely talk myself into them getting past a 2-touchdown deficit, because, you know, the evidence is right there for everybody. Roethlisberger was out there playing 3 weeks ago against this same team, actually a lesser version of this Chiefs team, because Tyreek Hill barely played. Travis Kelce didn't play, period, and the Chiefs still annihilated them. So that's true, but it's also true for Mahomes and the rest of the Chiefs. And so, and because that game was over, if you'll recall, you know, 6 minutes in, it was over. They scored a touchdown. Roethlisberger threw a terrible interception. And the game was over, and you knew it. And it was barely a half hour in real time. If it isn't that way, if it gets to mid-second quarter and it's like, Jesus Christ, it's a 7-6 game. Well, we're supposed to be killing this team. They're going to get spooked. They would, like any other human being, they will feel that pressure of like, what the hell's going on? Why is it so different? It's the same team. We kicked their ass just a couple days ago. Why is it so different? They'll say, and the Steelers will be like, we're in this one. Different day. Mike Tomlin, what does he do best? Is that back to the wall kind of stuff? All right, I'll do it. You know what? I'm going to do it because I want to have fun. I'm taking the Steelers plus the 12.5.
Oh, my God.
Right here. It was right here. I talked myself into it. I was ready. That's it.
We're four for four. It's never gone down like this. This is a big number. Gone down like this. We usually see eye to eye on so many games. Not only would I give the points, this is my number one most confident game on the list. The Chiefs' biggest problem is
Hench was rooting for the stepmother in Cinderella.
It's complacency. Like, they get bored. They, you know, I think it happened against the Bengals. I think they kind of felt, you know, they take the foot off the pedal. They start, you know, running like, what if Travis Kelce, what if we play sweet Georgia Brown on first and goal and Travis Kelce makes a behind the back pass to the fullback and then he throws, like, it's like, none of that's going to happen. That they are, you know, it's the real season has begun and they're going to be laser focused. And so you talk about, what if it's 7-6 in the second quarter? What if it's 10-0 in the first quarter? I mean, it's going to get bad fast.
I agree.
If the Chiefs go up, because the Steelers have no capacity to get into a shootout with them.
With where the 12.5 is concerned, the first quarter is everything. You're right. I'm not going to make a big argument against the team that should have been in the Super Bowl 3 straight times.
A lesser Chiefs team destroyed them. Therefore, this one will be closer.
I'm telling you.
I think your heart has gotten the better of your mind.
You live in your Hollywood manse removed from most human beings, Hench. I'm on the ground. I'm down there with the common man because I am one myself. I understand how human emotions go, how they move up and down, roll with the circumstance. I just laid one out for you. If it's close, the onus is on the Chiefs to not win the game. They're supposed to annihilate this bum Steelers team. If it's anything short of that, in the second quarter as they run off the field for halftime, they're going to be spooked a little bit. Maybe they just hit the gas and blow them out. The Steelers have no business. But the other thing is, as I say ad nauseum, 21st century defense in the playoffs or otherwise is not about dominating your foe and breaking their will and all that kind of stuff from the late 70s. It's about making plays, turning the ball over a couple of times. They have Minkah Fitzpatrick on the team. They have TJ Watt on the team. That can happen. I mean, it's not like the idea of, well, how could you give them any chance? That's how. TJ Watt strips Patrick Mahomes of the ball and somebody scoops it up and runs it in and gives them a margin that doesn't seem, you know, pretty chalky. Something that bonus points, as our friend Maurice Jones-Drew calls them. If they get some bonus points, you know, it's plausible.
Andy,
shake Reid, your head, spaghetti. It's not like that's an insane, by the way, just, idea.
Just that letting you know that. Just pointing out that Patrick Mahomes played in the AFC West that had Von Miller and Bosa and Ingram for years, so he's used to good pass rushers. Just
right, he's not undefeated. He's lost games,
but also, you know, it's funny. Andy Reid, who, you know, his reputation has really, really changed from the guy who couldn't win the big one. He's not, unlike Stefanski. He's not going to let TJ Watt wreck that game. He's just not going to he's not going to go, I think we can handle him one-on-one. You know, he's going to be chipped and they're going to roll the pocket away from him. And it's not, TJ Watt's not going to dominate that game. No way.
Okay. Well, if you knew that, you could have told me that was going to be the,
you already made your pick.
I didn't know that was the case. I didn't know that TJ Watt had no chance of making an impact on the game. If you would have told me that in advance, maybe my pick would be different, but it's been committed to history. We know where Spaghetti's going with his snark. Go ahead. Make a speech for why the stepmother is hotter than Cinderella.
What do you want me to say? That Juju's coming back, so I think the Steelers are going to win this game? Like, I don't know. I haven't spent too much time on this. I agree with Hench again. I think that they'll make Watt. They'll like, you know, Andy Reid never likes to run the ball. He'll use the screen passes. This is one I think you're going to see a lot of screens in this game from Allaire. I just feel like this game is going to be like a blowout. You're going to have, like, Byron Pringle doing, like, 25-yard post routes, catching middle of the field. I think Kelsey will score. I think it's going to be – this is my second most confident game, so I think the Chiefs will win this one. I'm sorry, Shaq.
Cancel the game. These players are going to be out there. They could get hit and, you know, something could hurt them and then they won't be right for the divisional round. Just cancel this thing. We know the outcome. Spaghetti's 100%
right. Wow. Why are you getting so upset? You're a double-digit underdog. We're going to pick against your team. Just take it like a man.
Goodell will do anything. He and his league partners with the networks. Oh, just scratching out a few more dollars. You're going to, at the risk of injury for these Chiefs, destined for the divisional round.
Was it Bills Raiders 51-3? I'm thinking, yeah, like, my question is there a score where Tomlin pulls seven?
Maybe.
Is there a score? 40 to zip.
I mean, yeah, that old man is getting ready. Like he's old for football, but he's young for life. He's only 39. Tomlin should do him a solid and take care of the man, Roethlisberger, and just say, sit this one out. We know how this one's going to go. Let's just give it to Mason Rudolph. I think that would be the noble thing to do. You know, fellas, FanDuel is awfully excited, as the rest of us are, about these playoffs. They're giving all customers up to $100 bonus on same-game parlays. One of the best things about FanDuel, of course. Same-game parlay on any super wild-card weekend game. You get a bonus whether you win or lose. The more you bet, the more you'll get. All you have to do is pick three legs of your bet. You can pick who you think's going to win the game. Sounds like you guys think it's going to be the Chiefs, so let's start there. You can pick the money line there, over under passing yards, who's going to get into the end zone, stuff like that. I think Kelsey gets into the end zone. He's a difference maker. Steelers inside linebackers having a tough time covering people this season. I think that sustains itself. Najee Harris on the other side has had a knack of finding the end zone. I think that's easy peasy. Does that sound good to you there?
Those are all right. Those are okay. I mean, if you think Harris is going to get in the end zone, I mentioned Byron Pringle. I like Byron Pringle at +230, okay. Solid odds on him. I could see him scoring. I think there'll be a lot of scoring on the Chiefs end, so much so that I love the Pat Mahomes over 280.5 passing yards. I also like the team total for the Chiefs. Right now it's at 29.5. I'd like them to hit the over on that as well.
All right. There's a multitude of options for you to think about. The important thing is that you do it at FanDuel.com/-3, the word minus the number 3. Bet along with your pals. Help us out a little bit as you make the wagers. It's the best time of the year, everybody. The footballiest time of the year. It's either the wild card round or the divisional round, or perhaps C. Both. Either way, bet along with us. We appreciate you for doing it. All right, got to squeeze in a quick break here. Next, Eagles, Bucks. And, you know, it was so obvious that you kind of look past, well, Bucks, 8.5 in at home, Eagles. But there's been enough noise and reasonable arguments about how the Eagles can run the ball and the Bucks might struggle there. I'm going Bucks, given the 8.5, for the simple reason that the Eagles haven't beaten anybody good the entire season. I mean, pretty straightforward. How say you, Hedge?
This is incredible because I'm going Eagles plus 8.5, and I'll tell you why. You know, we talked a lot about it with the Raiders during that middle trough of the season. There just comes a point where, you know, you can't, there's an amount of bad shit that happens to your team where it has to have some effect on the field. And, you know, the Antonio Brown stuff notwithstanding, Godwin and Fournette are considerably better than the guys replacing them. And Godwin and Fournette were Brady's guys. Like, those were the guys. I mean, like, when you look at at Fournette in the passing game, like, and so I feel like the Bucks are going to win this game, but it's going to be close. And then where our listeners make their real money is Cowboys at Bucks, or, you know, the Bucks are not going to the Super Bowl. And so there's a good chance to make some money between here and there. You can start making money by taking this huge number in a game that's going to be close and not high scoring.
I don't want to belabor this, but because I think about the Bucks against Washington last year and Heineke and all of that, it feels like, you know, I attribute powers to Brady that he doesn't even have at this point. But, you know, Sirianni versus Brady, it doesn't feel like a classic. I could just sort of see, you know, maybe it's not a 4-touchdown lead, you know, early third quarter, but I have visions of Brady just sitting there looking at his iPad comfortably, you know, like, this team's pretty good. You know, the Eagles, they gave us a good game here, and respect to Coach Sirianni and Jalen Hurts and everything else. But by mid fourth quarter, it'll be like, they're comfortably up 16, 17 points. And they're looking ahead. Brady knows how to pace out the postseason now. Like, let's just make quick work of these guys. They don't belong on a field with us. And then we get ready for the divisional round, but let's focus on the matter at hand. And by the fourth quarter, it'll be clear that they took care of business. Spaghetti, how say you?
Number one in the confidence meter, bet everything you have on the Buccaneers in this game. I think this is going to be like some sort of like Brady revenge game, like a giant F you to the Eagles for beating him in the Super Bowl. He's just going to unleash on them. Like, I would not be shocked if he had 5 touchdowns, just spread the ball around to every single offensive player on the Bucs. I could see, you know, Eagles, it's going to be like a 48-13 sort of game where I think, talk about quarterbacks benching the second half or fourth quarter, I think Brady will probably be out of this game too. He's going to light him up, I think. He's going to dice him up the entire time. The Eagles, like you said, they haven't beat a single player off team. They're gonna get killed.
Yeah, that's right. And I went back and forth on the total on this one. I think that it goes under the 46. It's right. Obviously they do a good job of setting the total on these things, but I'm going a little under just based on kind of what Spaghetti's talking about. It'll be a close, and then they'll kind of pull away the Bucks, and I think both teams will just be like, the Eagles won't have a chance to get any late garbage touchdowns. All right, let's finish up here where we started, Pats, Bills, and then we'll get to the NFC West clash. I'm going to go – I know everything I just said about Pats, Bills. I'm going to – You know what? You go, Hench. You're definitely taking the Bills.
We already did.
I know, but I'm allowed to change my opinion. I told you I'm a human being. I'm not a machine. I'm not some robot. I can change.
But I'm like, we're on the opposite side of two. Now we're on the opposite side of three. I'm counting you being on the Patriots.
So what? Too bad. So what? I don't have to. I'm not obliged to stick with my pick because you said something.
What does that mean? The Bills minus 4. I don't know what would have transpired in the last,
because it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right to take a rookie QB in Mac Jones, and it doesn't seem right to pick against the Bills, who really do have a great shot. I mean, the thing that keeps banging around in my head, though,
I don't even know what I like. What Spaghetti? He can't pick both sides and then said I can do whatever the hell I want to do.
And then say
I'm confused why we're picking this game again. I didn't get my pick. I'll just throw out the Bills. I think Josh Allen is doing basically what Mahomes did a few years back, where he's improvising and he's becoming a real elite quarterback, top tier quarterback. And like, I just don't think Mac Jones in a rookie year is going to, with the weapons the Patriots have, is be able to overcome that.
All right. Here's the thing. I will take the Patriots plus the four. And this is not an indication that it's a historic victory by a rookie QB, because that's the way, that's the way the conversation is sort of broken now. It's like, but you can't do it with a rookie QB. I'm not saying the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. I just said that the juice of these two teams in this division, I think that Belichick knows how to use Josh Allen's talent and belief in self against him. I will stick with that. Bills, Patriots plus four, total 44. How do we feel on that one, fellas? I'm going to go under that.
Under, I go under.
If I'm right about under, that, yeah, then obviously it's going to go under.
Do you keep taking, do you have to keep taking the Viagra? Like, I mean, in the fourth quarter, do your feet get cold again? What's the refractory period?
What if he gets the next Thursday and he does he see a doctor? Because that's the prescriptive advice is, if it goes on too long.
Accidentally ejaculate, your feet get cold again. Very tricky.
That feels like a can of worms to be opening it up, or at least a worm. All right, Cardinals, Rams, SoFi, Matt Stafford's wife went on radio or a podcast or something like that in LA, right, Spaghetti? And she said, Matt had to go silent count at home, and we really weren't ready for that. Aside from the we weren't ready for that, like, how much is Stafford bouncing the game plan off of his wife in advance of these games? The Cardinals have had a nice season, and they have answered, at least probably for themselves, I'm guessing, this sort of like the Kingsbury second half slide of the season is rearing its head again. Now the Cardinals 2 weeks ago probably felt like they erased any of that. I don't know how up for the game they were last week against the Seahawks. They were playing for something. They don't have Nuke Hopkins. James Conner is banged up. I think the Rams, if the Bills don't have the most pressure on them, I think it's the Rams who do. I think Snead and McVay and Stafford combined, they just feel like, man, we did it all for this season, and now we're playing in the wild card round in a nip and tuck game. I think if they go to Tampa in the divisional round, they have a shot. If they go to Lambeau, it's a wrap. What a waste to give up all those draft picks. In the here and now, Rams minus the 3.5 and over the 49.5. How say you, Hinch?
All right. Well, this couldn't be more exciting. The Cardinals are impossible to handicap, right? You go into Dallas and put up that performance, and then all you have to do is beat the lowly Seahawks to win the division, and you give up 38 points. There's no making heads or tails of the Cardinals. So this taking the Cardinals is more about my feelings about the Rams.
Right.
That team should be awesome. You look at the individual talent on that team, you're like, why aren't you awesome? And 17, I don't care if you're going silent count. You're up 17. Your destiny's in your hands. You can't lose that game to Jimmy G. And I just think ultimately they're not that good. They beat the Seahawks at SoFi on a terrible non-call. They've had so many underperformances. And so, you know, I don't know if you saw that comment. I wish I could attribute it because it was so astute. But it's like, Sean McVay, the way you understand the NFC West, Sean McVay owns Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll owns Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan owns Sean McVay, and Cliff Kingsbury owns Cliff Kingsbury. You know, and so I feel like all the anti-Kingsbury, all the stats about how poorly his teams perform the longer they're exposed to him over the course of the season, I feel like it has to stop. At some point, Cliff Kingsbury just has to almost luck his way into a result. And I do feel like Kyler Murray's moving around a little bit better, and the Rams are disappointing. You know, it's, I mean, obviously that Robert Woods thing is really huge, but I'm just going to take the three in the hook. And just cause the Rams, like, we both think either one of those teams gets destroyed in Green Bay. So it's almost like, all right, well, one of you guys loses and one of you guys loses the following week, but, I'll take the points. And maybe the Cardinals team that beat the Cowboys will show up.
Yeah, well, that's why I left it for last, because I really have no feel for this one. I doubt both of these teams. That's the bottom line. So yeah. How enthused can I be about either one?
We both agree. You know, even though we're on opposite sides of that game, we both agree the Niners are the best team in the NFC West.
Well, that's what's vexing about picking football games in the last couple of years is, like, it doesn't exactly matter what happened last week into this week, but for as much as it does, you know, the Rams were playing for something last week against their arch nemesis, Niners. This was a chance to sort of, you know, kill two birds with one stone. You kill the Niners from January. I mean, you end their run and boost yourselves on this roll and clinch the division and all that, and they didn't do it. That's a bad look going into there. I just think they're ultimately a little bit better in various spots across. You know, Aaron Donald looms large in this one. I know he hasn't exactly been a major factor in the first two games this year, but anyway.
But when you're looking at the names on that Rams defense, you're like,
yeah, right.
Why are guys marching down the field against you?
I know, but why is Eric Weddle back there who hasn't played in 2 years? That's not a good look either, I don't think. Eddie Spaghetti, how say you?
I think it's going to be the game of the weekend here. Oh, it's on Monday. But, you know, I'm rooting for the Cardinals, too, because I do think as time goes on, they're going to get healthier. J.J. Watt will get healthier. James Conner will get healthier. They're still both game time decisions. Also, DeAndre Hopkins, they said, could play in the title game. If they make it there. So I like them in this game with the 3.5. It's just one of those things where I still don't have the trust for Matt Stafford yet. He has stretches where he's throwing picks. He looks like, you know, the bad days of Detroit Matt Stafford. And I know that Odell Beckham's kind of come on for them. I know their running game, they're bringing back Cam Akers, but there's just something about Kyler Murray and he's electric. He's hard to stop. And I think they still have enough weapons. If Connor does play, and then, you know, they have Christian Kirk, Rondell Moore. So it's one of those things where I could just see the Rams being ultra disappointing in this game. The Cardinals winning one, and they're a team that if they are playing at their best, I don't think anyone wants to play them because they do have enough weapons. It's just so hard to stop a mobile quarterback. I mean, we talk about the national title game, like, you know, Georgia, Alabama, everyone was so hyper focused on the SEC title game. That's kind of how I feel about the Cardinals. Like, people don't look at the grand picture of it when they were really good for a very long stretch. That's why I was always trusting Georgia. This is one of those kind of scenarios where I'm like, when they're playing their best, they are better than the Rams, in my opinion. And I think they're going to win this one. And the story of the offseason will be the Rams being disappointing.
The thing is, I'll say, I'm a believer and I love the excitement of guys who can run around and burn you that way. And it seems like it should be a bigger factor in the postseason, but history indicates the opposite. But I do think about it because I love to talk to players about playoff games, and you know how they're more emotionally resilient than I am. You know how you sweat out every game that's close in the regular season. And you're like, I don't know if I'd be able to take the snap from the nerves, but they just keep it like, there's still time on the clock. That's how they think. But in the playoffs, they do see the end of it. They see, like, when you go down late third quarter and, like, if we lose this game, our season's over. They feel that. And so who is going to be behind the eight ball at some point and how they're going to respond kind of should dictate that. It does feel like Kyler Murray could make an electric play, you know, somewhere in the second half. And you're the Rams, like, it's all going to go up in smoke. The whole thing, we went and got all these guys and it means nothing now. We're going to lose in the first round at home to the bum Cardinals. I could feel that energy in Los Angeles on Sunday night. I'm going to play the hunch and say that it doesn't get that close for it to be a factor. But it's why the playoffs are so much fun to
look at. If the Bills and Rams both lose at home, and truncate this building to something meaningful process, here's our headline: Shauns of the Dead.
That's a B plus. I like right, it. Right. Pretty good. No, yeah, I like
tell
it.
What, I tell you what won't happen though in that Monday night game is Matt Stafford going silent count because Cardinals Nation.
Well, that's what they don't have to worry about, right? That's what they don't have to worry about, right?
Travel.
That's exactly right. They're going to feel so good. Like, they won't let that get into their brain. Like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, not that many people are coming from Phoenix, and they're, how many Cardinals fans are there really? They're going to buy tickets. They're just going to ride on the field. It's going to be all blue, and it's going to be a nice atmosphere for the hometown Rams for once in their lives, and they'll play with a different level of swagger as a result of that. That's fine. If you could watch, here's a question very quickly, and then we have to do something else very quickly before we get to spaghetti and meatballs to wrap up the week here. I'm -3. You can only watch one game. But it's unfair. You can't choose your team. Obviously, I would choose the Steelers to my own, depriving myself of some juicier matchups. But if you could only watch one game this weekend, which is it?
Cowboys Niners.
And I'm not going to show you any highlights or anything. Cowboys Niners is your number one. Huh? Spaghetti?
I mean,
I'd say Raiders, Bengals, or Cardinals, Rams, because those are the two games I think the underdog could win. I'll go with Cardinals, Rams, because I want to see Kyler play.
I think I like the stakes of Patriots Bills. I just don't think the nation is fully grasping that region of football America, what the Bills are supposed to be, what they were supposed to be for the last, I mean, it's been 2-3 years now with Josh Allen, you know, the loss in Houston in the wild card round in overtime. Then Josh Allen has an MVP level season and they come up a little short. This is supposed to be the year. So if they get some adversity against Belichick, I think that'll be captivating stuff. Hey, that would be my choice.
Let me rephrase the question.
Yes.
And then maybe you'll come around to my answer, which is the right answer. Okay. Which one of these games features two teams that could win the Super Bowl?
Ah, that's a fun one. So I'm looking at this as, okay, not New England.
There's only one game that has two teams that could win the Super Bowl.
Not the Rams. Chiefs Steelers? No way. I like the spaghetti
answer. I think it is the Monday
night game. I just told you they're not going to the Super Bowl.
I think it is the Monday night game.
Oh, no. Come on.
No. I think so. I think if they get healthy, they can do it.
It's not the Raiders, can't go to the Super Bowl. So it's, well, it's not the Eagles. What game am I even missing then? Who it was
the game that I picked to watch? There's one game that has two teams that can win the Super Bowl, and it's the Niners Cowboys.
No, come on, Niners. What, they're gonna beat Brady and they're gonna win in Tampa. I mean, in
Jimmy G was up 10 in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
All right, you're right. No, it's not a crazy pick.
That's all I wanted to hear.
Quick breaking news: Texans have fired David Culley.
Ooh,
so add him to the list.
Here's I said this earlier in the week. Watch this happen. Brian Flores to Houston. Flores's first piece of business is talking Deshaun Watson into why he needs to stay with the Texans, and Deshaun Watson stays there. That's my prediction for that one.
You know, this is so insane. Like and I think it actually was worked out for Spaghetti really well. So, you know, they said we're keeping Judge. Maybe that was a trial balloon to hear how people reacted. Like you couldn't guess how people were going to react to that piece of news. But Flores getting fired was the best thing that could have happened for Giants fans, because they were like, obviously we can't keep this guy. Like, oh, is that where we should be evaluating? Should we be setting the bar at, you know, 9-8 gets you fired? Because then we definitely have to shit can our guy. The Culley firing, it makes no sense. Like, that team played so hard for him.
I agree, yeah.
Like, and it's, you know, we've talked about this a lot on here, where it's like the players will let you know whether they want their coach fired or not. And the Dolphins, week 18, were like, we very much would like our coach to be our coach next year. I mean, you know, obviously winning 8 of 9, and all reports are the players love him, and he's 4-2 against Belichick, and 19-14 with fucking Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jacoby Brissett and Tua as his QBs. Like, it's insane. Well, the communication in the building isn't great. Like, fuck off, asshole owner. So then it's like, okay, Flores goes down. Culley when you are going to be given an opportunity to be a head coach, right? And it's like, it maybe, you know, it's different for different guys, but like for guys like Flores and Cully, it's like, okay, you got to take over a shit show. That's what you get. You get a shit show. And then the covenant should be, you have to show us that it's headed in the right direction. You know, was he supposed to go to the AFC title game with that roster? Like, what was he supposed to do? You know, they blew out the Chargers at home. They, you know, there was a terrible, terrible call in that Titans-Texans game that should have been an end zone pick, ended up being a touchdown instead. The Texans could have won that game, and my plus 4,000 Jags-Texans parlay would have come through. But you know, you couldn't say that the players did not want that guy to be their coach next year. So that just bums me out.
I think in a way I could, unless Cully knew like this was a 1 year proposition, although he within the last couple of days said something about like, I haven't heard anything. So I think maybe he is a little surprised. I think this is worse than the Flores one. I think the Flores talk has gotten a little out of hand. It is 3 years after all. He didn't make the playoffs. It's gotten away from ourselves a little bit about like, how dare they fire that guy? I hear you. I think for stability's sake, and a guy who had the team tracking in a good direction, but it's not like in 3 years they even played once in a postseason game. Even Adam Gase did that. I mean, I get the circumstances around it. I'm just saying it's a little overstated about how dare they fire this guy. Don't they see how good he is? The guy that like went regress this year. They won 10 games last year and they won 9 with an extra game to be played. I think it's a little overstated, but listen, let's do this now very quickly. Harry from Against All Odds, of course, came up with a little fantasy game for us to play. Jen Piacente is overseeing it. Spaghetti's partner on waiver wire coming up at you later today. Spaghetti, you got to help us out though, because you belong to Jen. You and Jen Piacente are doing your fantasy team. The -3 team proper is me and Hench.
Right.
You're here to just help us and make sure we don't screw up because we're
correct.
At least I'm a dummy. So just make sure we don't screw this up. The rule is fantasy football for the entire postseason. And with the 14 teams, you have to take one guy and only one guy from each of those 14 teams. Okay, let's hash this out here, Hench. Let's start at the most important position. And obviously, we want our quarterback to wind up in the Super Bowl. So basically, let's work backwards. Who's your Super Bowl pick? Is it Allen's Bills, Mahomes Chiefs, Burrow's Bengals, Rodgers Packers? I think that's how we have to do this.
Well, I feel like, you know, you could create an algorithm, which is always such a bummer because, you know, all the things can get crunched into the computer and end up being more effective than our guts. But so the first thing you would want to load into the algorithm is who's most likely to play 4 games, right? I mean, because that's the problem. Like, obviously, Vegas says it's going to be, you know, Mahomes Rodgers is the most likely Super Bowl matchup. Well, it's like, well, that's 4 games for one of those guys.
I'm fine with Mahomes. If you want to say Mahomes, let's do that right now.
So I think all of our teams are going to have Mahomes. You would really, however, knowing that everyone's going to have Mahomes, maybe if you're the team that doesn't have Mahomes, and Mahomes throws a shoe and breaks down in the home stretch of this Steelers upset, then maybe you end up on top. But so I would say for the first position, the most important position with the most points, quarterback, you look at the 2 quarterbacks most likely to play 4 games. One of those, obviously, Mahomes. Then the next batch would be Brady or Dak.
Okay. That
you would basically be choosing between those 2 guys.
Well, here the most important position in real football is QB. A case can be made that the most important, because they are precious like gold, which is to say rare to find a dominant one, is a running back. Zeke, for, you know, as mediocre and banged up and whatever as he was this season, he does present as a guy who, one, is on a team that has a chance to make a deep run. And really, where else are you looking in 2021 playoffs for a dominant back? The answer is Joe Mixon. And unless you want to go Joe Burrow, and Ja'Marr Chase makes some sense. It's how many receivers, Spaghetti? 2 or 3?
There's 3, but there's 2 flexes. There's right. 2 flexes.
Right.
All right. I'm putting Mixon down. He is our Bengals choice. Do you choose quarterback? Do you want Dak? It's
two quarterbacks, three running backs, three receivers, two tight ends, two flex,
oh, two kicker, QBs. Kicker
and defense. Yes.
That's what I just explained.
I didn't hear you say two. All right, so go ahead. You want Mahomes?
Mahomes plus Brady or Dak.
I'm going to let you choose that one. Brady or Dak.
But why are we discussing this with our opponent?
Well, who gives a good goddamn? You think Jen Piacente and Eddie Spaghetti are a match for us?
Certainly not our listeners.
Yeah.
wait till we – hold on. Boswell or Folk?
You know what?
At kicker. Because, no, guys, this is what everyone's talking about. This is what everyone's talking about around the water cooler. Well, should your kicker be one and done? Should you take Boswell?
You know what? Christ. You know what? This was poorly produced on Dave Damashek's part, and ultimately that means it's Spaghetti's fault. No, I think you're right. We do have to, like, the teams that we expect to lose, Pittsburgh and Philly, I think, like, they have to be our defense and our kicker. Because it's impossible to predict which guy, or certainly defense. Like, it's not something you can call. Oh, yeah, I bet you that team's going to score three touchdowns in the – so we throw them away. You know what, Hench? We'll do this offline. We're going to give the audience – because we have 48 hours to solve this. So minus three listeners, you must weigh in and help us with this. So we'll cut it off there with the football talk. Great stuff, Hench. Best wishes to your Patriots.
Oh, it's going to be a huge weekend. We are on opposite sides of every game.
Was that right? 6 for 6. That's Spaghetti.
Yeah.
You barely agreed with me too, Spaghetti.
Yeah, because you got went against them at Steelers, Chiefs. You're different. You're different in Pats, Bills, Bengals, Raiders. I think we all. Oh yeah, Hench took the Eagles, so that game is different. 49ers, Cowboys. You guys are on different sides, and then Cardinals, Rams. So wow, yeah, that's
wow. How do we do this, Spaghetti? We should put together a 6-way teaser. Or maybe a parlay where you go either all Damashek or all Hench and no in between. Yeah, if you want to bet with minus three, you have to choose all in or that won't work. Anyway, we'll figure that out. We'll figure out the fantasy for the postseason. You can follow all the fun on Extra Points at extrapoints.com and beyond. Great stuff, Hench. Of course, like we say, mazel tov on another fine performance. And now, with football officially in our rearview mirror, I'm going to get mentally right for some Kings Penguins action while I listen along to the latest episode of Spaghetti and Meatballs.
Spaghetti and Meatballs, we are back. More NHL talk here with Eddie Spaghetti and Mikey Meatballs. Meatballs, your thing, your name here says Islanders play tonight. You actually still watching the Islanders?
Yeah, well, we haven't been able to for the past like 5 years because they haven't played in so long. So they finally played tonight against the Devils, unless that gets canceled.
Yep. Well, excited for you guys to keep losing. I did go to the two Rangers. I haven't seen the Rangers in quite some time. Obviously, we had the no fans in the arena thing and COVID, whatever, and living in Southern California, you only get to see the Rangers play in reality once, because you can see the Rangers play the Kings at the Staples Center. The Ducks, seeing Anaheim, if you're from LA, you know that driving to Anaheim on a weekday with like rush hour traffic is probably one of the most brutal things you could do. Luckily, they played on a Saturday, sat third row Meatballs. I gotta like that. And I was like, touching the glass. It was some game. Rangers with their taxi squad, really great effort there in a win. And then they followed up with a real stinker. Looked like a totally different team versus the Kings. Also had pretty nice seats there. Little Christmas gift to me. But it was just it's a weird thing to see a team. I don't know. A lot of teams are dealing with this with the taxi squad thing. I like it though. I feel like the taxi squad thing should be, you know, for the future of the NHL, keep guys around there, especially with the Rangers, the AHL line, I was calling it. They played pretty well, but you know, one of those things you have to deal with COVID, but maybe a potential good thing for the league going forward. But enough about our Rangers, plenty of stuff to get into. I know the Bruins are bringing back Tuukka Rask. Geno Malkin scored 2 goals for the Penguins in his return. Do you think it's going to spark them, skyrocket them to something? They're sitting at what, 47 points right now. The Pens,
like that, yeah,
behind the Caps, Rangers, and the Hurricanes. You think it's going to all of a sudden transform them into some contender? How do you feel about the Penguins right now?
I mean, I think they're going to be the same,
yeah,
as they were. Like, I don't know. Do you think it adds, like, I mean, I guess obviously it adds more because it's Malkin, but I don't think it's going to change too much how they've been playing.
He will definitely, he'll add stuff in some games. Like he'll score two goals in a game and then he'll kind of float and disappear for weeks on end. And then he'll come back. I mean, do you want to see them in the playoffs? Like, I'm sure their power play is pretty scary, but I'm kind of with you. I still feel like the Penguins, their reign of dominance is kind of over with.
Yeah. It's, I mean, him, Crosby, and Letang have been around for what, like 15 years almost this point. So, we'll see what I don't think it's going to add too much. I don't think it will change how they'll play necessarily. I think the pace that they're on now is probably the pace that they'll finish with. So,
all right. Other news, Jack Eichel, who we talked about a lot, my guy from BU, returned skating with the Vegas Golden Knights here. And he obviously talked about his rehab, his departure from Buffalo, said basically a lot of the stories about his neck were not really true, that his surgery was not as dangerous as people made it out to be, that he is pretty much in good health. I know he's still wearing the full red non-contact uniform in practice, but he said that his time in Buffalo was difficult at the end here. I know, Meatballs, you have a take or two on this whole situation. What are your thoughts here?
Well, I did say when he was first traded that he scammed his way out of Buffalo,
right,
which he did.
It does kind of seem like that.
He did. Yeah. He forced his way out of Buffalo.
But do you blame him though?
No.
Okay.
As someone who lived in Buffalo for 4 years, I don't blame anyone for wanting to get out of there. But still at the same time, it's like, for that fan, like that fan base has been suffering for a while now. So I don't know. It was kind of a lame thing to do, but I guess it's also on the organization that they didn't really add much around him in terms of pieces. So
it's the same thing. What did we talk about last week with the Oilers? It's the same exact scenario, just in a different continent. I mean, it's all it is. It's like you have McDavid and Draisaitl, and Buffalo had Eichel and, you know, various other pieces, the guys I thought would pair with them. None really, to the level of Draisaitl, but he got fed up. He's a young star, his second overall pick in the draft. He wants to move on, and the way he left, it seems a little fugazi now. But now he's in a real cup contender. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. So I don't know. It goes both ways there. But he's going to be great on Vegas.
I think so.
And
too.
That's going to be a Western Conference Finals. If Vegas gets there, it's going to be fun to watch with them.
I really agree. I think they're going to be a scary team now, and I was afraid of them. I mean, Kale McCarr scoring crazy goals left and right, and like Colorado's kind of surging, but I think Vegas will be real good.
If I could add to Colorado real quick,
yeah,
that Devon Toews trade looks like the only trade lost in the last few years, unless this guy Aturatu pans out, which he is playing very well in Finland for the Islanders, mm-hmm. but getting only 2 second-round picks for Devon Toews, who's been just as good as McCarr, is quite unfortunate to look at from an Islanders fan perspective, considering we could have had Dobson, Toews, Pelikan, Pulak, as a top four pairing. So it's shout out to Devon Toews.
I do feel your pain on losing a trade. I mean, obviously the Rangers trade away Pavel Buchnevich, which is having a real nice season with the Blues, trading for Sammy Blais, tears his ACL, and they're like, all right, no problem, we'll just call Vitali Kravtsov to fill in that spot, and then he's feuding with the Rangers, still is, and he's over in the KHL now. So it does sting to lose a trade and seemingly not have an answer for that. But Colorado, Vegas, I think that is, if that somehow ends up being the WCF, that's real tough, and I still feel like the winner is going to come from the West this year. But anyway, moving on to something very funny, and a team that's contending in the East, the Florida Panthers. I mean, this clip took Twitter by storm, very viral. Everyone, Kodak Black, the NHL tweeted out a picture of Kodak Black, who's a performer, music artist. I'm not familiar with his work. I'm sure it's fine stuff. And he, they're like, welcome to whatever the Florida Panthers arena is called. He's there. He's taking pictures with fans, whatever. And he has a suite, and his suite is right next to the front office of the Panthers. So like Roberto Luongo is sitting in that that suite there, and he got caught on video, and now we know he was just dancing. It was twerking with a young lady, but people thought he was doing other business. And to me, it's just the funniest thing that the NHL is trying to be you know, kind of in pop culture, like, oh, there's a famous star at our game. Let's tweet about it. And then everyone just replied to that tweet saying, well, look what he's doing in your suite, as the whole Florida Panthers organization is looking, like, turning their heads, looking at him. I mean, I thought that was so funny. And I'm like, Meatballs, you've done this before at games, right? We've had a few suites recently, Kimmel Bowl, the Clippers game with Harry and Ken. You were twerking a lot and you didn't think it was a big deal that Kodak did that.
No, it shouldn't be a big deal. I mean, it's what guys do when you're in the suite.
Was he just so bored? He was just like, I don't care about hockey. It was like that what it was. You're like, he's like, I'm too famous for this. I don't care. Like, even though the Panthers are great, though, it's a good, you know, good team to watch.
I mean, it's also probably part of the fact that, I don't know. He probably just was. I don't know. I don't really know if I have any more comments. I can't.
Would you? What would be the weirdest thing you would do at a sporting event? Like, I've done a couple. I haven't done anything like that level, but I've done a few things at sporting events. Like, you know, whether it's like stealing. Like, I remember one time to take you off the hook. I was at a Bruce Springsteen concert in Barclays Center, and me and my dad took sushi from the 40/40 club, and we threw it like handfuls and just put inside of a popcorn box that we did not pay for. So, and we just brought it to our seats. Like, that was like one thing we did. It was pretty funny, but I mean, it like twerking in a suite when people thought you're doing something X-rated is quite the feat.
I still think he might've been doing something X-rated that the cameras might not have caught.
Wow. Conspiracy.
So that, I guess that's
why. Like, the Zapruder film for Kodak Black Dancer.
Maybe. Do you think anyone in the suite next to him knew who he was?
Like the Wongo Florida front office suite?
Yeah.
I think they definitely did not know who he was until the twerking thing. Then they were like, who the hell is that? And they found out. They're like, oh, this is the guy the NHL tweeted about from every, like, they post on their social media accounts from every, everything that everyone follows with millions and millions of people. And then they had to delete the tweet after, which is also hilarious. But I mean, thank you for giving us one of the funniest clips ever. And credit to Paul Biznasty, who had a lot of funny tweets about it. Like, he was a criminal investigator. That was just great stuff. And the NHL is fun again. And also shout out to him again on the TNT crew. I know they had a game last night, or two games last night. Great stuff from them, as always. I love the TNT broadcast crew. Let's round it out here with some picks. And this weekend, if you're betting on hockey, lucky you, because I love the three games on Friday. We don't have the odds yet, but Dallas is at Florida. Love Florida at home. Anaheim at Minnesota. Pretty even matchup there, but I will take the Ducks on the road. Ducks are a tough team. Trevor Zegras, one of the best players in the game right now, young players in the game.
I can give you the odds on that.
You got it?
Ducks will be plus 160 as of right now.
Really? I love that. Take that. What is Florida at home versus Dallas?
Florida minus 185.
All right. Well, I like
minus 1.5. They're plus 140.
Okay. I like Florida at home, given the 1.5. And then Arizona to Colorado. I think Colorado's going to destroy the Coyotes at home.
Really? Okay. So that's where my bet on the opposite. Well, I'm somewhat of the opposite. I like Arizona plus 1.5.
Really?
Plus 115, getting plus money there.
Why? Yeah. Why are you going against the grain here?
Vemelka's been playing well.
Okay.
I think he's going to attract a lot of attention towards the deadline. I think Edmonton might be a team that looks at him, and I think they'll get a decent haul for him. So they're playing well in front of them. I do like them plus 1.5. You know, they'll be coming off a win against Toronto, but I'm going to think they keep it within a goal.
All right. Well, then screw what I said.
Two goals, I should say.
Meatballs are confident. So there are your bets. Go play those right now. Enjoy the games Friday, and fingers crossed, everyone, that we get another, maybe like Madonna or somebody like dancing at an NHL game next week we talk about. But we'll see you folks soon.
Good stuff, Spaghetti and Meatballs. I think you better start being honest with the man in the mirror. 87 plus 71, plus the way that roster's playing, plus the way Jari is playing. It's a matter of time before the Pens reel you and the rest of the division in. You see where this one's heading. Yeah, listen.
No one agrees with you. I mean, we talk about this in the segment. Malkin's going to come back. He'll score two goals like he did, and then he'll float, you know, for a couple of weeks, and you won't even see him on the ice because that's what he does. And then he'll come back, score a couple of goals. I'm not that worried about it. The reign is over. Just it's fine. You'll have a good season, but that's it. I mean, it's over.
No, it's all about is, as I will always say, as I said before the season, to be fair, Tristan Jarry choked in the playoffs. That does not mean he's a bum goalie. I told you he would have a good season. He has had a good season. The question will be how he performs come springtime. That's where it left off. That's where it will resume. The in-between, I told you he was going to play well, and he's been Vezina level quality between the pipes so far, and the guys up front are playing gangbusters. But anyhow, Thanks to you, the listener, for checking it out. Thanks to Mikey Meatballs, Eddie Spaghetti, Kevin Hench. Make sure you bet along with us. FanDuel.com/-3, the word minus the number 3. Follow all the fun on the Extra Points Network. Enjoy the playoff games. We'll talk to you after they're all wrapped up to make sense of it and look ahead to the divisional round. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.